There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. Maya Angelou.
So I guess for me, one of the things that's always driven me and motivated me is wanting to work and get into documentary. It's kind of, I guess, what led me to start a YouTube channel was having that kind of outlet. And yeah, I think it's funny when you think about your identity and, you know, ever-changing thing that people view you, how people view you or how you perceive yourself. And I guess, you know, for a while there, it was like, yeah, I'm a thru hiker, but at the base of it all, I've always wanted to become a documentary filmmaker. So it's a feature length doc that I am developing.
I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod.
Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Lace up those boots and sling on the pack for a romp through trails, short and long. With your host and Renaissance man, Doc, it's time to embrace the suck.
Welcome back to another week on the Trail Dirtbags and Hiker Trash. I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Let's start off with a reminder. If you are enjoying the podcast, take just a minute, help us out, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're not enjoying the pod, well, just go ahead and keep that to yourself. All right, let's get to this week's guest, who is a true favorite of the podcast and our listeners. I am very excited to welcome back Elena Tip Tap Osborne. How's it going, Tip Tap?
Hello. Oh, wow. Favorite? That's a big call. Yeah, it's good to see you. Good to hear your voice again. Good to be back. I actually don't remember when it was that I spoke to you last time. It must have been at least over a year, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think you were in season two. We're currently in season five. That doesn't mean a lot because we burn through 50 episodes, sometimes two episodes a week. So I think at least a year and a half since I spoke.
Okay, it feels like not that long ago, but also like a lot has happened. So yeah, it's good to be here again.
The world has had a lot of turns since then.
Mm-hmm, that's for sure.
Yep. And here we are, we're separated by a Friday night and who knows how many thousands of miles. Because as we speak right now, it is Friday, early afternoon my time. Are you Saturday morning right now?
I am Saturday early afternoon.
Saturday early afternoon.
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm. And heading into summer, toilet flushes the other way. It's a different world down here, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Now, how did Friday night go? What can I expect?
You can expect a forecast of consuming many cult documentaries and actually quite rainy. It was quite thundery. So enjoy a night in.
Okay. Did you say cult documentaries?
Yeah. That was, okay, that was my wild down, Friday night.
Going down that rabbit hole.
Always.
Okay. Now, you've been on, it's been a little bit of time. Some people may be familiar with you. Some people may not be familiar with you. How did you come by the trail name Tip Tap?
That's one of those real letdown stories. Not that exciting, but essentially, I had never used trekking poles before. And, was very excited by being on my first thru hike on the PCT and had been conversing with a guy, telling him I hadn't had a trail name, and yeah, I was just loving it out there. And I hiked with my hiking poles very confidently. And then probably, I don't know, a couple miles later, we met up again at the road trying to hitch. And he deemed that I did not use my trekking poles correctly and just tapped them on the ground, and that would be a perfect trail name. And I took it because the previous names I were given was Spoon and Boy Scout, very non-creative names. So I took it, and it's stuck.
Spoon, that's a tragic, trail name. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not
I really
sure.
put it down to the people I was around. They just were not, you know, these guys. No, I'm kidding. They're great. They just, you know, needed to think outside the box a little, you know.
Now, with your presence on YouTube and social media, have you just given up, Elena, and just gone with Tip Tap in the real world out there?
In a way, no. I mean, I wish I could say that, but no. I tried using my trail. I guess I did use my trail name when I hiked Te Araro, so like a year and a half later, and I went by that. But it did feel like I was forcing it a little bit too much. It just felt like a completely different trail, a very different context, and I think in terms of Aotearoa New Zealand and the kind of trail culture we have here, it just didn't really fit. And so while I like the fact that I took that name, I feel like if I did it again, I'd probably just go by Elena, or allow for another name to, enter my trail world.
So if it is not a big tradition down in New Zealand with the trail names, how often do you hear someone call you Tip Tap?
It's usually if I'm talking to old trail friends from the PCT or from Te Araroa, or if on the rare occurrence that somebody recognizes me and maybe calls me Tip Tap, but I feel like that's still maybe one-fifth of the people who would call out to me. Though I recently had an experience in, I think it was Alaska, and somebody called out Tip Tap, and that was cool. It was exciting.
Nice. I'm waiting for the day I'm out on trail and someone calls out Doc that I don't know, just some random stranger out there, and recognizes me. That you know, obviously it's not happened yet. So congratulations on that. Pretty cool.
Made it, you know, made it.
You made it. That's right. That's right. All right. Now things have changed a little bit here on the podcast since the last time you were on, but you are, I think, familiar with the Pro Tip Inside of the Week. That's a segment we do towards the end of the episode where I'm going to turn to you and ask you to share some trail wisdom with our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better. So don't be surprised when we get there.
Okay. All right. Got that.
Do you remember that from last time?
I do. I do not remember what I said last time, and I don't know what I'll say this time, but hey, we'll cross that bridge.
Okay. It was very deep last time. I'm not sure what it was either, but I'm sure it was very deep.
Okay. I'll go a completely different route this time.
Okay.
The must bring gear review.
Oh, do you know who that was?
Oh, The Voice?
Yeah, The Voice.
Oh, wait, that sounded familiar, but
should we try it again?
Play it again? Yeah.
Yeah, here we go. Listen up.
The must bring gear review.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, it's so familiar. I'll kick myself. Who is it?
I promise you won't kick yourself. It's my daughter.
Oh, that's so, oh my
you,
gosh.
You
so
thought
cute.
It was somebody famous. She's not famous yet, but maybe someday.
No, I thought it could have been like a trail person. But hey, she's got a great voice.
Yeah, maybe a little Nicole Kidman in there.
The must bring gear review.
I don't know. Anyway, that's half calf. Another feature we've been doing this season, Tip Tap, is the must bring gear review, sponsored by the ultralight backpacking gear company Six Moon Designs. And here's how it works. If you were to let a stranger pack your bag with pretty much generic gear for a multi-day hike, what is the one specific piece of gear you would insist on being packed? And if you've got a particular brand for that specific piece of gear, even better. So Tip Tap, what is your must bring piece of gear out there?
Okay. So I feel like I remember what I said last time, which is probably the Peak Design camera clip. And I would stand by that. But if I was going to add something this time, I think I realized just how nice it is to have a hot stove, because I did not take one on my past through hike, but on multi-day hikes, just with anything, it is worth the wait. In saying that, the most recent addition to my pack has been this super light, I think I got from REI when I was in the US most recently, coffee drip filter thing. I don't know the brand. It's really light. It was very inexpensive. And that is game changing. Taking real coffee on trail, oh my God, it's a luxury that is 100% with the weight. Yeah, real coffee grounds and dripping. It's bougie as hell, but hey, look, you gotta enjoy yourself out there, and a good cup of brew is the way to go. So that's probably my more recent addition.
Now, you know, I'm always on the lookout for a good title for the episode during the interview, and I think we just stumbled across it.
Oh,
bougie,
no.
Bougie as hell. I think bougie as hell dash oh, Elena Tip Tap Osborne. I mean, that how could we do better than that?
Oh, God. I feel like it's the worst representation, but hey, look, you know, maybe I'll say something better throughout. But...
All right. We'll keep our ears open for other possible
titles. Take it if you like it. Take it.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And I agree. Coffee out on the trail, out in the middle of nowhere, a hot cup of coffee. That is pretty bougie.
Worth it.
Okay. Now, you don't remember the brand of the stove?
Brand of the stove itself. I've still got the one that I took on the PCT. I think it's a pocket rocket, but I've been wanting to try the old jet boil for a while now. That's something that it seems like every man's dog has these days. So that's something I'll have to try, but I'm yet to make that purchase. So, hey, we'll get there.
Every man's dog. Is that a Kiwi saying?
Every man and his dog? Is that not a universal saying?
Every man and his dog. I thought you said every man's dog. Okay.
Every man and his sheep would be a very Kiwi version of that.
Okay. Hey, we've got something else we've been doing. I'm not sure we had this in place when you were on before.
It's the hiking pole.
It's the hiking pole, and it's not P-O-L-E, like the kind you carry in your hands when you're tip-tapping around out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's P-O-L-L, like a survey. This is a 7-question survey that's going to help me assign you a score from 1 to 100 on the sanity scale, with 1 being completely insane and 100 being completely sane. And you should know right up front that there is an automatic 25-point deduction for anybody who has done a through hike of at least 2,600 miles. So your top score today, Tip Tap, is 75.
Yeah. I'll be surprised if I get higher than a 30, to be fair.
Yeah. If I were to ask your brother, I said, hey, where would you put Tip Tap on the sanity scale? What do you think he would say?
Oh, I would be in below 10 for sure.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that is that's like batshit crazy.
But I mean, they don't have an objective view. I guess there is no real objective view, but, you know, crazy can be a good thing too in different contexts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell my wife all the time, I said, my dad always told me, if you want an exciting life, marry a crazy woman. I don't commit one way or the other as to what I did, but I just let her know that.
Okay. How's life going for you?
I'm still here. Mm-hmm. I'm still here. Hey, Tip Tap, we have 2 sets of questions that you can pick from. You can pick from set A or set B. Set A is about hiking stuff. It's called the hiking pole. And so these are like hiking questions. Set B is a set of questions regarding the big issues we face as a society.
Oh, God.
Wrestle with them daily. Probably make an entire podcast about any one of these questions. So I'm going to leave it to you to pick which set of questions you want me to pull from.
Oh, man. Look, I don't know if I'm ready to step into set B today. I'm having a pretty good day, and there's a lot happening in the world. So I'm going to go for the lighter option this time.
Okay.
And go for set A.
Going for set A. All right. Just to give you a taste of what you missed out on. Maybe we'll do it next time. Let me pull a question from set B. Here you go. It's a very big question. Do you roll your toilet paper over or under?
Oh, God. Oh, I have
that's just an example.
Yeah, I have deep regrets.
We can switch. I mean, it's not too late.
No, I've committed. Look.
Okay.
I've committed.
All right. Set B is for next time. Tip tap. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Question number 1. Set A. Trekking poles or no trekking poles? And I think that's, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this one because of your trail name. So
yes, and my tent relies on it. So I'm going to have to go for trekking poles.
Okay. And what kind of tent do you have?
I still have my ZPEX duplex. It's been rolling with me since PCT days. Not the literal festival, but the actual hiking of the PCT. And no, I still love it. Still love it.
Is that a one-pole tent or a two-pole tent?
Two-pole.
Two-pole.
Mm-hmm.
Two-pole. Very durable, evidently, if it's been with you since the PCT.
Yeah, it's been through some weka attacks and some mouse attacks. It's seen some things.
Did you say weka attacks?
Weka, a bit of an accent there. Weka. It's a bird native to New Zealand. They're kind of like, I would say, like evil demon rooster birds. They're black with red eyes, and they just dwell on the ground. And they're specifically in the more, I don't think I've seen many in the North Island. They probably do exist up here, but they're more so in the South Island, and they just harass you. If you've got food in your tent, they will come for you.
Okay, good to know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, question number two, boots or trail runners? What's on your feet?
I trialed boots kind of recently. I still think I'm a trail runner gal. Boots are good, but I don't know. Even with weak ankles and all of that, I still think trail runners are the way to go.
Okay. And do you have a specific brand of trail runners that you prefer?
Oh, I've been cycling through so many. I liked, Ultra was good. Ultras? But now I've been using Hokas. Hokas are my go-to at the moment. But it's ever changing. It's ever changing. So when people ask me, I'm like, you can ask, but you have to try it for yourself.
There seems to have been a shift. You know, early on, I would get a lot of responses with the Ultras. And now I'm getting more and more Hokas.
I think it's because we've all busted our joints. And there's so much more cushioning in Hokas. So we're all getting old is what it is, I think.
Not me. I'm still young.
Ever young. Mm-hmm.
Ever young.
I can tell. Mm-hmm.
All right. Question number three. I know the answer to this one already, but I'm going to ask it. We'll have a little discussion here. Your preferred shelter system, tent, tarp, hammock, bivy, or hey, let's just cowboy camp.
Oh, yeah, I wish I cowboy camped way more on the PCT. And getting a hammock is a cool thing, but I'm still in the shelter world, because it's just, it's so nice having your own little space. A lot of the hikes in New Zealand are hut hikes, so you hike out to a hut and it's a shared environment. And that's really cool. It creates a really cool culture within there because, you know, you cook your food and you're all sitting around and you can have good chats with strangers. But nothing beats having your own little sanctuary in a tent. So that is still me.
Okay. And of course, you mentioned the tent earlier. So, all right. Question number four, when it comes to sleep system, are you sleeping bag or are you quilt?
Oh, I at the moment have, I'm still quilt. It's still a quilt, but it's a different kind of quilt. It's like the one that zips all the way up. So it feels just like a sleeping bag, but yeah, still on the quilt train.
Somebody sold you a quilt that zips all the way up. I was going to say, that sounds like a sleeping bag.
Okay, maybe it is. Oh, no, I'm sure it's a quilt, eh? It's a ZPEX one. I'm going to have to double check on that. Yeah, I'm actually pulling it out today, so I'll to go for a little hot sleep. So that'll be I'll double check for you, but I'm pretty sure it's a quilt.
I would have I'd hate it if someone just they labeled the sleeping bag quilt and add another $30 to it.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
All right, you see in our earlier discussion. I know the answer to this question too. Question five, stove, cold soak, or stoveless? What do you do when it comes to food out there?
I'm gonna go for stove, but wait, cold soak or stoveless? Isn't that the same thing? Stoveless could just be like you're eating bagels, right? And cold soak is
exactly.
Eating the ramen. Gotcha. I'm gonna be a stove girl.
Yeah, you ever tried cold soak?
Yeah. Yeah,
many times. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, it's fine. I think it's fine, especially with those D-high meals. It's absolutely fine, passable. But you know, when you want some, you're shaking your head. But look, it's still food. It's still digestible. But I'll say no to cold soak mashed potato or instant mash, because the one time I tried that, I don't know, something weird happened to my stomach. So just no to that one.
Okay. Yeah, I tried cold soaking. I went into it with an open mind. I was sold by some guest who just swore by it. I got special recipes. I did all kinds of meal prep ahead of time. And day three, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't eat the mush. I can't, you know, it's tasty mush, but you know, I just couldn't. I needed a hot meal.
Fair.
It was Aaron Mayhew from Backcountry Foodie.
Oh, she, okay.
Website with all kinds of recipes. I mean, really good stuff. But when you're traveling with somebody else that has a stove and you're sitting hunched over, you know, sucking down your gruel, and that person's eating a nice hot aromatic meal, it's not the same.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's when you're around others who've got a stove, that's when it's just not a good time.
Okay. Question number six, is life better above or below the tree line?
Oh, life better below or above the tree line? That feels like it could be quite a deep question. I'm going to say life in general, I think probably, I'm going to say probably below the tree line. I mean, when you're hiking and all of that, it's beautiful to go up for views, and you really, and I think that's what makes you appreciate those moments a lot more. But living life, it's nice to be. Usually, you find your good people below the tree line. That's where everyone's hanging.
Okay. Question number seven, our final question in the hiking poll: what's more important, pack weight or luxury items?
Oof. It's kind of the same thing, isn't it? Because you're meaning like a light pack, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Light pack versus luxury items. Oh man, luxury items like nice. I still think about pack weight though. I'll probably still put focus on pack weight. I mean, I do take luxury items, but if I was going to choose one or the other, and it wasn't going to impact, you know, the way I was thinking about things, I'd want to feel good about my pack weight.
Okay. And if you do bring a luxury item, what is that luxury item?
These days, probably, I mean, you got the little lightweight coffee thing. It's not heavy at all. I just think maybe I have just put less focus on pack weight these days, maybe because I haven't been on a thru hike in a while. But also luxury item, probably like my Kindle.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Now I'm going to throw in a bonus question. It doesn't count towards your score, but just give you some flavor from set B. Do they have hot dogs down in New Zealand?
What's a hot dog?
No. Are you serious?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay. All
right. When you say hot dog, you mean like the ones in the bun?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because there's like corn dogs, and then there's like sausage rolls and all that. All right.
Right. Hot dog. Classic American hot dog fare.
Mm-hmm,
so here's a bonus question for you. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No. Why would it be a sandwich? I mean, there's bread. I see that. I know that in America you call like burgers sandwiches, which is also bizarre. No, I'm gonna have to go no. I don't know.
So where does the hot dog appear on the menu? What section of the menu does the hot dog appear in?
In the American ethnic section. We have one of those specifically corner for that. So in our supermarkets, we've got the ethnic aisle, there's an American aisle, and just in that aisle is hot dog buns, fried frozen hot dog rolls, and mustard.
Now I'm envisioning
and Twinkies and honey buns. That's it.
I'm envisioning now a restaurant in New Zealand with, you know, multi-page booklet menu, and you have to flip through to like page 17 on the very back bottom corner. It says crazy American food, and they're listed is the famous hot dog.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to come down here to find out.
Okay. Now, I mean, a sandwich, what's your definition of a sandwich? What are the qualifying characteristics of a sandwich?
You know, bread, like square bread, maybe.
Oh, it has to be square bread. Okay.
Yeah, bread. I feel like that's it. You could put anything in it. You know, you could have some margarine in there and slap it together. It could be a sandwich, maybe not. It's a bit much. Yeah, some square bread. That's a bit of a square answer, isn't it? I haven't really thought much into this. I'm sure you've had many, many deep dives on this question.
Yes, and it's just a bonus question.
Okay,
we're not going to take a whole lot of time. We'll revisit that question when we come back on the next episode.
Yeah, and I'm really feeling like a good sandwich.
You get the full set B experience.
All right.
All right. Hey, let me put your answers through the mathematical formula here, through the John freaking Muir algorithm.
I'm sure. Got to
do some math here. Stand by while I do some math. Yeah, mm-hmm. I got to carry the 3. Got to divide by root 2.
Oh, I forgot. This was like a sanity thing. I'm pretty sane.
Yeah.
I mean, those questions were probably not good representation, but
all right, let me multiply that by pi, and we're going to adjust for the fabric firmness as it's being attacked by a whacking wicca.
Oh, sorry, that was me trying to put on an American accent. Wicca, like a weka.
And I come out with the just below the midpoint score of 48. So you're slightly crazy.
Hey, it's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Not down. Not a 10 by any means.
Mm-hmm.
48.
I'm glad we went with step B then.
Okay. Well, hey, before we get too far down the trail, tip tap, let's back up a little bit. Let's remind everybody kind of where your background is, where you grew up, and how you got involved in this whole thing called thru hiking.
Okay. That's the question?
That's the question. Yeah, all your right. Background. Remind
my background.
Everybody. Yeah.
Okay. I grew up in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and the city of Tamaki Makaurau or Auckland. It's probably the most populated. I mean, it is the most populated city in New Zealand, in a little suburb called Te Aritu, Te Aritu South. And I have lived a pretty, I wouldn't say normal. Anyway, had, you know, grew up in New Zealand, studied here. And then after university, I lived in the US for probably, it was about 14 months over the 2016-2017 period, and kind of got a taste, I guess, for the national parks in the States, and was very, very enthralled by them and just by the US in general. I had made really good friendships and built really good relationships while I was there. Came back to New Zealand and was not ready to stay here for very long. And it just so happened, you know, the unraveling of a relationship, a job that I wasn't super keen on, all pointed me in the direction of the trail. And in 2019, I set off on the PCT. And yeah, it's been, I think, yeah, has completely probably altered the direction of my life since then.
Now I'm intrigued by this notion that you live in New Zealand and you felt the pull of the US, this exotic location. And I think it's the exact opposite for people living in the US. You know, they think that this is just kind of, you know, pretty boring, and man, wouldn't it be great to go to New Zealand? You know, it's just like the grass is always greener.
Oh, always, always. And it's totally down to, I mean, the probably just like the kind of media and film, television influence we have here, which is very much kind of like Yeah, I don't know. Kiwis, we love American culture. And maybe people, you know, of course, it's very controversial. There are areas where things are not so good. But in terms of just like what we consume, probably, we get a lot of that. And yeah, like you said, grass is always greener. Always. Yeah.
Did you pick up a bit of an American accent when you were over here?
I supposedly did when I was there. So when I first got back to New Zealand, my family were like, why do you sound American now? I also started speaking a lot slower because I used to speak very, very fast, but nobody could understand me in the US. And since then, I think the way I speak has changed because in New Zealand, I often get asked, not super often, but enough times I get asked where I'm maybe from or where I've lived or something like that. And I remember my flatmate in Denver, she loved accents. She loved learning them, mimicking them. And she was super disappointed in my Kiwi accent. She said it was not Kiwi enough. I think it's gotten more Kiwi the more time I've spent here now since then, but I definitely had a bit of a twang.
You want to do some impressions for us? You want to do some maybe different regionalized American accents?
Oh, gosh.
Do Texas and maybe the Deep South and maybe Southern California. You want to give that a shot?
I don't think I know those niches very well. The only one, I mean, I'm not. I remember doing some kind of like Kelly from the Valley attempt while I was on PCT. And I feel like everyone who was hiking it just was not having a good time with my impression. So since then, I've kind of been put off.
Kelly of the Valley?
Kelly from the Valley, like the very American. And I haven't practiced. Like I need some time. I need a warm up.
Now, when you say the valley, which valley are you referring to?
I don't even know. It's just something I heard on a YouTube video. It must be a Californian valley.
It absolutely is. It's about 20 miles from where I sit right now. The valley, if you just say the valley, you're probably talking about the San Fernando Valley, which is just north of Los Angeles, the city of Los Angeles.
Gotcha.
In the 80s, there were some pretty ridiculous conversations and accents coming out of the valley. And if you watch any 80s movies, I'm sure you can imagine. So I am just north of the San Fernando Valley. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley during the 80s.
So you are Doc.
I'm a valley boy.
Docky from South. So what's a good Southern accent? How does that sound?
Oh, I don't do accents.
Oh, okay. No, see, no. Look.
Yeah.
I could have tried to mimic your Southern accent, but I need a frame of reference, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a particular, you know, pitch and cadence, as well as certain words like, you know, dude and other types of stuff.
I really like that accent. I really do. I enjoy the Southern accent. Yeah.
Okay. Now that you referenced a job that you didn't care for, as I recall, that was working in some capacity for the local police department.
Yeah, I was doing the videos. So I was just filming kind of behind the scenes, kind of like doc stuff. And because that's like nonfiction stories have always been something that really, I guess, drives me, motivates me. It happened to be in that context. It's got to a point of just telling the same stories, not super interested in the subject matter. It was an interesting insight, that's for sure. But I guess I just started to grow out of that and definitely just wanted to tell different kinds of stories.
Okay, hey, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back from the break, we're going to hear about what you've been up to since the last time we've talked. What kinds of adventures? And then also, we're going to talk about what's next. What's next for Tip Tap? So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From the backcountry to the backyard, we believe everyone deserves the highest level of protection. Since 1984, Sawyer Products offers the best, most technologically advanced solutions for protection against sun, bugs, and water, using time-released liposome technology, topical insect repellents, and new standards in water filtration. And with every Sawyer product you buy, you are helping to provide clean water through 140 charities in 80 countries with their long-lasting water filters. Every Sawyer product you buy is an investment in our common humanity. Choose Sawyer and keep the adventure going, knowing that their products have been tested and chosen by those who count on serious protection on the trail all day long. Six Moon Designs has been innovating ultralight backpacking gear for the past 20 years. With a wide range of products ranging from ultralight shelters to backpacks and accessories like their extensive line of trekking umbrellas, Six Moon Designs is sure to have a great piece of gear for your needs. With the company philosophy being that gear should aid one's experience, not define it, Six Moon Designs thinks the more time people spend outside the natural world, the better off this world will be. And remember, go wild, live young. This episode is sponsored by Jolly Gear. Are you tired of compromising between the ventilation of a button-down and the full protection of a sun hoodie? With the Triple Crown button-down, you can have the best of both. Plus, their fun standout patterns will have you the talk of the trail. Visit them at jollygear.com. Thru-hiker owned, Jolly Gear, where fun meets functional.
And welcome back. We are talking to Elena Tip-Tap Osborne, who is just admiring my background. If you're not watching this on YouTube, you're really missing out. You've got Evolution Lake and Mount Mendel.
Wait, this is going on YouTube? I would have prepared my background a bit better.
The more impressive shot, though, is of Tip-Tap in her natural environment there.
Yes, and I just moved into a new flat, so this is the new space. It's a very yellow room with featuring a circus wall. God, I would have, made the environment a bit. No, I don't think it would change anything, to be fair. Very much admiring your background. I was saying it was the Sierra I never got to see, not completely covered in snow.
Yeah, I had the good fortune of hiking in the Sierras on a low snow year and also on a high snow year. So I've seen it in both conditions. And yeah, I love the snow. I love the visual of snow, covering the mountains and on the ground, but I do not relish hiking in the snow post.
Not a good time. Yeah. A month of that really gets to you.
Now, we spent most of our conversation in our previous episode talking about the PCT, talking about your YouTube channel and the videos that you have on there that are just incredible, absolutely incredible. If you have not had the chance to visit TipTap's YouTube feed, you need to do that after this episode is over. Some really, really good stuff there. And if you want to see the PCT like you've never seen it before, watch her videos.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
But we're not going to revisit the PCT today. We're going to talk about what you've been up to since then. What's been going on in your life? Where have you been? You've been kind of hopping all over the globe.
Yeah, I truly have. And now I feel like, just with climate change, the sense of traveling, you just recognize how much of a huge privilege it is. I feel so, so grateful that I was able to do it. And also just like, a lot more guilt in terms of carbon emissions, but there were trips that were planned a while back, but I landed in the US in LAX and spent maybe 5 days in the area. I actually went over with my older brother because I do, despite only really showcasing one brother, I have three brothers. This is the one that often gets forgotten. I have three brothers and one sister. I'll put that on record. So, poor older brother. Yeah. Anyway, we spent 5 days, 4 days too many, together traveling in the area. He my two older siblings were actually born in the US, so he hadn't been back since he was maybe 5 years old. So he was keen to check it out, and I was kind of just like going anyway, so I thought it would be quite cool to go. And he was checking out the old neighborhoods that my parents had lived in. So I was keen to kind of document a bit of that.
In Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles, yes. It was the...
What neighborhoods?
Oh, I'm going to say Pasadena. Is that a neighborhood?
That's right. Yeah, it's okay. A neighborhood, Pasadena.
No, maybe not. Maybe not that neighborhood. Okay, I don't think it was, because that's a really nice one. It wasn't a nice... like a, maybe it didn't used to be a super nice neighborhood. Anyway, maybe it was that area. Anyway, okay, I digress. It was around there.
Well, I think in a lot of communities in Los Angeles, there's kind of higher end and maybe, you know, not so higher end. So that mm-hmm. it could have been Pasadena.
It could have been. And as I recall, it was just a regular house, and they'd packed like 20 people in there. So it was maybe that's how they could afford it. Anyway, yeah, so I spent a bit of time there, and then went across to ended up in Salt Lake City. I have a friend, 11, who I hiked the PCT with, who's there, and I spent a couple of days with her, and then went up to Denver. Met up with some trail buddies there, and that was super cool. I saw Irish and Lucy and Catano and Backtrack, and some of my old flatmates that I lived with when I was there in 2017. Then I went up to Alaska and did a hiking group trip, but also met up with friends I hadn't seen for 10 years who live in Homer. And man, that's a special spot. That's a incredible, incredible spot. Okay. And then I quickly jumped over to, not quickly, it took a long time, got to Italy.
Well, hang on, before we get to Italy, let's spend a little more time in Alaska. What did you do in Alaska? What was the hike?
So the hike, it was in Denali National Park, but it was kind of more of a camping, kind of outdoors trip. I'd had more input into the planning of it. Probably would have spent more time looking at the kinds of hikes, but it just so happened that some of the trails were kind of closed. But we did a little hike in Denali National Park. And that was incredible. I mean, Alaska is just insanely large and insanely beautiful. And when I was in Homo, I did a hike. We took some kayaks out to, we paddled out to this kind of little island and camped there. And then we paddled to another spot. I really don't know the names, which is terrible, but we hiked up a mountain, and that was cool. It actually looked very similar to New Zealand, oddly enough, similar to like the Milford area, for anyone who's familiar. And yeah, that was beautiful. And we saw a bear. That was cool.
Grizzly?
I think it was a black bear actually, but yeah, we just walked past the section of trail and then looked back, and the bear was crossing the trail where we'd just come from. Yeah, it was cool. I think it's the second time I've ever seen a bear. So
wow. And how's Irish doing?
Oh, he's good. Actually, I'm gonna be chatting with him on the phone today. Yeah, he's good. He's in school and he's loving life. Yeah, when I met him, he was a wee lad. He was like 18 years old, 17 or something. So he's just at uni or at college now. So it's, yeah, good to see old friends and kind of see where everybody's lives are heading, because, you know, you're in such a, most people are in very transitional stages of their lives when they're on long distance trails. So to come back, you know, a couple years later, it's like those high school reunions, except maybe with less judgment. No, I don't know. I've never been to one. And yeah, so no, he's good.
Tell Irish that Doc says hi, and then he wants him to come on the podcast to talk about his experience, his perspective of hiking with Tip Tap.
Oh God.
We'll get the behind the scenes. That's not a subject other perspective.
That's not a subject matter to be listened to publicly. No, I'm just kidding. I'll let him know.
Okay. Now over to Italy. How did you go from Alaska to Italy? Did you, yeah. was there a trip back home in between, or are you just on the move the whole time?
I was on the move. I was away from New Zealand for about 3 months total. So I guess that was about a month in the US, and then landed in Italy. I think it was, I landed in Milan, I think. Ooh. And then took many trains. It was many, many hours of travel, maybe 40 hours of travel. And that was fun. I think it's because I had a 20-hour layover in Mumbai. That's maybe where it was. So then, yeah, got to, it's a town called Brunico, and it's very northern Italy. It's so north that a lot of them speak, their mother tongue is like Austrian German, so they don't really speak Italian there. But it's right at the base of the Dolomites. So my friend, I have a friend who lives there, and we met 5 years prior, hiking the Salcantay Trek in Peru. And we just kept in touch since, and had always remained friends, and always thought, you know, we'll meet up again. And I was already heading to Europe for another group hiking trip, and so I thought it was a perfect time to go. And it was, oh my gosh, the light in the Dolomites is insane. And I only did like a sunset hike because that's kind of all we had time to do, but it was so magical. And now I want to go back, and I think it's called the Alta Via 1, which goes through there, and I would love to go back and do that.
You only had time for a sunset hike in the Dolomites?
Yeah.
And then you had to move on?
I was there for a couple more days, but yeah, no, I was spending time with my friend, and we were kind of doing other outdoor things. So we went to this like the famous lake around there, and yeah, it was hard because I was traveling but also kind of doing work. So it was a bit trying to balance the two is difficult. But no, it was worth it. I would travel 40 hours again for another sunset hike for sure.
Well worth it. Now you're traveling for work. What kind of work is this?
So this was, I mean, the group hiking trips were like work trips, but I also had work in New Zealand. I guess, like, would you even call it? I mean, it was kind of their passion project. So, and working to get funding for these projects. So, that's kind of what I was, working on. Very, very mysterious answer,
Sounds, I was gonna say, sounds very
isn't
mysterious. Don't say too
it?
much. You might
All
get in trouble.
right.
But are you guiding? Is that part of your job?
No, they were kind of just like, I guess participating, but people who were keen to kind of hike with me, which was, it's a very odd experience for me to get my head around. And I met some incredible, incredible people, like beautiful people I really connected with. And that was, yeah, I was so grateful. But yeah, it's an interesting thing to get your head around. Well, for me, maybe I'm just an overthinker. Just, people who want to hike with you, just as you
Wait a
are.
second. Wait a second, Tip Tap. Hang on. I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Is this like hiking with a celebrity, with Tip Tap being the celebrity?
It's kind of like you're hiking with somebody who, so there's a bunch of people who are running them. But I wouldn't call it a celebrity. I would call it maybe, I think for me, the way it's kind of more geared is that it's like people who want to go on group hiking trips or group travel trips, but want to maybe feel like a sense of knowing at least one other person. And if there's a creator they've connected with, then they go for it. Yeah, there's a seen a bunch do it, but yeah, that was kind of the gist of it.
So, is there a website that coordinates all this?
There are quite a few different companies that do them. So it really depends on which one you go with.
So you wouldn't call it hiking with a celebrity, more like hiking with a legend or hiking with
Legend for sure, 100%.
legend.
That's what I call myself. I wake up every morning and I say, yes, I am a legend to be hiked with. So yeah, hikingwithalegend.com. You'll see my face first thing.
I mean, you can go online, you can find celebrities. I'm just going to use that word a couple more times if you don't mind. You can find celebrities who will do a message, or they'll record a message that, you know, like a birthday message or something that you can then send to a friend or a loved one. And this feels to me kind of like an offshoot of that, where now people are able to hike with other well-known hikers. Do I have completely the wrong idea, or is that
maybe? I think, I mean, potentially that's yeah. And I've seen those sites before. I've wanted to buy one of like past Survivor contestants, because I'm a big fan. Have not done it yet.
Have you been watching Survivor?
Oh yeah. I just caught up last night.
Yeah. What do you think of the season?
Oof. It's actually very promising. A lot of the seasons, you know, it's a slow start, but this has been really, really good. Last season was I felt so fulfilled as a viewer. And the season is, yeah, it's ticking all the boxes. It's really good. And yeah. I honestly would marry an American for an American residency or whatever to be on the show, because you have to be American. And that crushed my dreams when I was like 13 and learned that. But hey, I'm, you know, laying the groundwork, putting that out there in the universe.
Well, if there's
we'll
a
marry
website
for Survivor visa.
If there is a website for hiking with legends, there's got to be a website for marrying an American to become a Survivor contestant.
Yeah. It's actually the link on my Instagram bio, so just click on that and.
Nice. Yeah. Now we can talk all we want about Survivor this season, because mm-hmm. by the time this episode comes out, the season will be over, so we don't even think. We don't even have to say spoiler alert. So
okay.
I feel really.
But, you know,
bad.
Some people take years to watch.
Yeah. What are the odds, though? Someone tunes into this podcast when they're, you know, three episodes from the.
Okay, we can give a spoiler warning if you'd like to talk. Yeah.
All right.
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert. Janine, who went home last night or mm-hmm. two nights ago, mm-hmm. I felt bad for her, because I mean, she really laid it all out there. I mean, she cut herself up on her chin. Early on, she's got these gnarly scars now on her chin, and mm-hmm. you know, nothing to show for it.
Yeah, no, it was honestly. I like Cody. Is it Cody Livin? But right now, my favorite is the 19-year-old kid who's pretending to be like 20-something, and he's low key running the show. So I think right now he's my fave.
He is, and there's no way I believe that he's 19. I look at him, and I look at my son who's 25. And the 19-year-old, he seems way more mature. And
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's mm-hmm. crazy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good times. Back to this hiking with a celebrity though. If I wanted to hike with Tip Tap, how do I go about doing that?
So other than hiking with a legend.com, no, I'm never gonna say those words again. So there's at the moment, there's one trip that I will be doing. It's with Vagabond Trails. So that's a company that are really, really great. There's a incredible couple who run it, Veronica and Jonas, and they really plan out some incredible hikes and trips. So yeah, Vagabond Trails.
And so to get people to sign up for that trip, do they market that you're going to be on that trip? Is that how it works? I'm trying to understand this.
Yes,
that is okay.
But some people actually just sign up for the trips because they want to go on a group hike. So I actually did do a hike where one of the guys was on the trip. A couple of them were just like, yeah, they just joined because they wanted to go on a group trip. So it's kind of like there are two. I think there are a lot of different motivations for jumping on them, because I've definitely done group. The Sol Conte hike that I did back in Peru was just a group hike as well. And that's especially cool when you want to go do an overseas hike and you're like, I don't really want to go alone and I don't want to organize it myself. So yeah.
Now, does Vagabond pay for your airfare and your expenses to go on this hike?
They do cover that. So that's what helped. that's what helped me getting over there. But
Elena, you've hit the jackpot. You've reached legendary status. When people are flying you in to hike with a group of people, that's you've made it.
You think so? You think? Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's It's a pretty incredible position to be in, and one I could have never imagined ever growing up. So I definitely don't take that for granted.
Well, Veronica and Jonah, I know you're listening out there. If you need a Valley boy who grew up in the San Fernando Valley in the 80s, who now has a hiking podcast to go out on some hikes with some groups out there, I am available. Give me a call.
There we go. There we go.
It was
I'll be
Veronica and
ringing
Jonah,
you
right?
straight
Did
away.
I get the names
Jonas,
right?
Veronica and Jonas.
Jonas. Oh, I
Like
probably
Jonas Brothers, you know.
that's probably a strike against me now. Darn it.
No harm. I'll put in a good word, don't worry.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Tip Tap. All right. Hey, let's get to France because I understand that you were there for about a month in France. And what were you doing in France?
Good question. So I hiked Tour de Mont Blanc with a group. So that
Wow.
was about 10 days. And then I was
Was
actually
that
planning to.
fantastic? Was that just gorgeous beyond belief?
Oh, it was just mind-blowingly beautiful. And I'd never done hiking in Europe, and so the hut hiking was, it was incredible. Just having like food provided for you as well. It's a different world. And
No,
just
no cold soaking there.
oh, no cold soaking, and it's just it is beautiful out there. And no, absolutely beautiful. And then after that, I was looking at the Haut route, which goes from Chamonix to Zermatt in Switzerland. Was planning to do that, however, had some other things I had to work on, so I kind of was just staying there, I guess, kind of low key scoping remote work, or just like seeing what it was like working from there, and was able to stay there for another, I guess, 2.5 weeks and work from there, but every morning kind of get up and go for a run in the mountains. The mountains are on your doorstep there, so I couldn't not utilize that. There's also a hike straight from the Chamonix town called the Vertical Kilometer, which is exactly how it sounds. And that was rough. I think I did it twice. If you ever go, you should definitely try it. I think I got it just under an hour, just. So if you want to go beat my time, go try.
Is that an FKT on the vertical kilometer? Just
Oh,
under an hour?
I mean, it's my FKT, but it's definitely not the FKT. It's there are some quick people. I think they actually have an event every year where they try race up it. I actually don't know the fastest time. I'm probably going to say like 20 minutes or something.
It a road or is it a trail?
It's a trail and
Trail.
it just zigzags all the way up, all the way up, or what do you call it? Switchbacks.
Well, you've been up and down the Golden Staircase.
The Golden Staircase.
On the PCT.
Oh my
Just
God.
north of the Palisade Lakes.
My brain is, has, blocked that from all memory. I don't think I
It's
knew what it I didn't I don't
the
think I knew it was
circus,
called the
it's the
Golden
circus
Staircase.
wallpaper behind you that's having that impact.
I think so. I think
Yeah.
so. The Golden Staircase, I don't think I knew it was actually called that when I did it.
But you actually
So
you went northbound, so you went down the Golden Staircase.
that makes sense. I recall
Yeah.
the staircase, not much else.
Okay.
I'm sure it was beautiful. I'm sure it was stunning. I was probably half delirious, on my cold-soaked mashed potato.
Now I cut you off when I asked or when I mentioned the Golden Staircase. You were saying something very deep and insightful about the vertical kilometer, I'm sure.
Oh, if you go do it, just don't do it at night with a dead phone battery and no headlamp and no water. That's my advice.
Who would do that?
No, I know. Amateur, amateur.
Certainly not an experienced thru hiker like
Mm-mm.
yourself.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
And were you in a tour group in France?
So the Tour de Mont Blanc hike
Yeah.
was a group hike. Yeah.
What a great gig.
Yeah, it was great. It was exactly
Okay.
that.
Now tell us about surfing in Portugal. You're now a surfer.
That's very, very generous term. So after then, yeah, I headed to Portugal. I guess I just got in my head that I'd like to do something for myself, even though there is great surfing here in New Zealand. It often takes being in a very, very different environment, at least for me, to try new things. And
You
so,
had to
yeah, I
go
went to
halfway around the world to become a surfer. I mean, the waves in
exactly
New
that.
Zealand. Pah.
No, gross, gross waves in New Zealand. Absolutely, absolutely gross. No. So I went to Peniche, which I guess is like a surf town. And yeah, I guess just went to a 5-day surf camp. It's one of those things that I feel like a lot of people, it's like one of those pipe dreams. It's like, yeah, I'll become a surfer on the beach. And yeah, it was fun. It was difficult. Surfing is hard, but it at least got me out there on the water. I stood up and would not say that I am an experienced surfer, but I have surfed.
But you got up on your own, you rode a wave or two.
A couple times, couple
Yeah,
times. Again,
nice.
it's very generous, very, very generous phrase, or title to call me a surfer.
Now, are you a goofy foot or are you standard?
I think I'm standard, but I think the first time I ever surfed, I stood goofy, so that totally messed me up. But I think I'm standard, but in general, just goofy
Just goofy in
just
general.
as yes, as
Nice.
I conduct myself in this world. But yes.
Okay. And then the last stop I saw on your Instagram feed was Bali.
Yes, Bali. I ended up being there for a month. It's kind of a place that's super accessible from New Zealand, very popular spot for Kiwis and Australians, and that's what always put me off it. So I never went. And but on my way home, flights were super, super expensive, like $4,000 one way back to New Zealand, back to that the old little island. So I figured I actually can't afford to fly home right now, and it's cheaper to stop over in Bali, or it will end up being maybe around the same, but to live there for a month. And I didn't have anything to get back to yet in New Zealand, so I took that opportunity, stayed there. I actually helped my friend who was running a retreat there, so I helped photograph and film some stuff for her. And then yeah, just stayed there and lived. Again, was working on my passion projects and just enjoying living in Ubud for a bit. It's cool. It's cool.
Now you've mentioned passion project a couple times. Is it top secret at this point?
Not really. I mean, I probably it's a so I guess for me, one of the things that's always driven me and motivated me is wanting to work and get into documentary. It's kind of, I guess, what led me to start a YouTube channel was having that kind of outlet. And yeah, I think it's funny when you think about your identity and this, ever-changing thing that people view you, how people view you or how you perceive yourself. And I guess for a while there, it was like, yeah, I'm a thru hiker. But at the base of it all, I've always wanted to become a documentary filmmaker. So it's a feature length doc that I am developing. I won't go too much into it. It's not top secret, but I'm still developing what the story is, how it's going to go about. But very, very, kind of, it's related, but different also.
Okay, related to through hiking?
Maybe in some sense, yes.
Okay.
But not particularly, honestly. Not particularly.
You are goofy. When do we get to find out a little more about this? Or where should we keep our
If you
eyes?
stalk me enough, then you might be able to find something, but maybe not. I think as I get more down the rabbit hole, no, get down more the track of developing it and get something made about it that's, let's say, within 6 months, but very different. I don't know if I would put it on like my YouTube channel. Maybe I would, but it's not, yeah, again, not really related through hiking. This isn't giving you any answers, is it?
Have
But
no
hopefully it's
idea.
developing this deep seed of curiosity, so when it does get released, then you'll be straight on it.
Is it autobiographical in any respect?
Well, as yes, this is like what's that game?
20
Guess
questions?
who? Yeah, which is yeah, in a sense, I think in any sense, when there's a direct, when you're directing a documentary, it's never going to be objective, right? It's always going to be from the perspective of the person writing the film. Because even though it is a reality, you've got to choose which angle you're going to go down. So yeah, autobiographical in some sense.
Wait a second. Are we talking about your video submission to get onto Survivor? Is that what this passion project is?
God, how you saw right through me. You saw right through
Ding,
me.
ding,
The whole
ding.
documentary is me on a quest to get that American visa. So it's just find me a survivor husband.
All right. Now, I visited your YouTube site and very prominently, I think one of your most recent videos said, "What's next?" That was the it kind of just jumped out at me. And so,
Yeah.
is that what you
Oh,
were
that's a
referring
good
to?
thumbnail then. Good.
Yeah, was that what you're referring to with this passion project? Is that what's next, or are there other big adventures on your horizon?
Yeah, I guess there's a couple things that are on the horizon. That's one of them. That's kind of going to be a long, slow burn kind of project. But in terms of things that are maybe more immediate, what's next? I've started doing work on editing other people's work. So I'm editing somebody else's documentary at the moment. This might be a different question that you were going to ask me, but I'm answering it anyway. And adventures, yes, it's not 100% confirmed yet, but I'm potentially going to be back in the US for at least, I'm going to say, 6 to 8 weeks, if that narrows it down, to hike a trail from probably around end of March next year. So that's something to look forward to for myself in terms of big, long adventures.
East Coast, West Coast, Central.
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 And
Six to
that's as
eight weeks.
much as I will say.
Okay, so 6 to 8 weeks, unless you're doing an FKT of the Continental Divide Trail, probably not that.
Who knows?
You are so
It,
cryptic,
again,
so
it's not top
mysterious
secret, but
these
it's
days.
I it's not top secret, but it doesn't just involve me. So I guess that's the thing. And it's, again, not 100% confirmed, but almost. But maybe by the time this is out, it will be. So yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Hey, Tip Tap, you know where we are?
We're in the tip
Yes,
section.
Tip. You remember Tip because that's part of your trail name. Tip, that's right.
Yes, the pro tip insight of the week.
Yes, it's time for the pro tip. That segment where you share some trail wisdom with our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better. What do you have for us?
Ooh, trail wisdom for the next experience out there. How do you make it better? I think the thing I've realized for myself in terms of enjoying being outdoors is how much I really, really enjoy sharing those experiences with others. So I guess my tip would be if you're gonna go out on a little multi-day hike, or something like that, invite some buddies. Get them out there and take the stove and the nice coffee. You'll be better for it.
Fantastic. So there you have it. That's it. This episode is just about in the books. Hope our listeners enjoyed our time with Tip Tap today. Want to thank her for joining us. Elena, how can our listeners keep up with you on social media? And where can they find updates on these mysterious upcoming adventures and projects?
God, I've made it so mysterious. I probably didn't need to, but hey, I guess I haven't really thought about how I'm gonna talk about these things. So I guess, yeah, my YouTube channel is still there under my name, Eleanor Osborne. Yeah, I'm gonna try upload at least once a month. It's a difficult game to play. And I use Instagram, not a super amount. That's kind of it at the moment. That's kind of it at the moment.
Okay. Remember to check out the pod on social media as well. We are on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. That sounds excessive when I say it, but no, it is what it
Wow,
is.
TikTok. Good for you.
TikTok. And well, half calf, she said, Dad, you've got to be on TikTok if you want to reach a wider audience. I'm not sure if that's been successful at all, but there I am. And if you have comments or clips you want to share, you can send it to me at johnfreakingmuir@gmail.com.
The Adventure Media Recommendation.
The show's gotten pretty high tech since the last time you were on, huh?
Oh yeah, all
Yeah.
these voice memo things. They're
Yeah.
great. They're great.
Bells and whistles. So, Tip Tap, I'm also looking to you to share a recommendation for a book, a movie, documentary, some kind of outdoor adventure media that will help keep our listeners connected to the trail. We call this our Adventure Media Recommendation. What do you have for us?
Cool. Yeah, so I don't watch a lot of hiking YouTube channels, but every so often somebody sends me something and I'll watch it and I'll be like, oh, this is great. And more recently I was sent a YouTube channel by this guy, Alexander LeFoon. And he sent it to me before he started the PCT. And of course, I mean, it was he mentioned me. He mentioned me in the in his video. So of course the narcissist in me was deeply grateful for that and really enjoyed it. But no, it was the story and just the way he told, I don't know, it was maybe it was the Southern accent as well. Him and his buddy were going out to hike the PCT, and he's just started releasing his PCT episodes, and they're really beautiful, I think. And the really cool thing was, and it was just like the trail, the trail gods. When I was in LA, I went and did trail magic with the Prodigy, and we, grabbed some stuff, drove out to the mountains, kind of near Wrightwood. And we stopped at this random spot and we're like, where the heck do we go? Where do we do this trail magic? And we just stopped and I look in the rearview mirror and I see a hiker crossing the road. I'm like, oh, there's hikers. So we grab all our stuff and we set up the table. And then we call out to them. And then these guys end up coming down and they're excited, trail magic. I'm excited to be there. And then I look at them and I'm like, these guys look so familiar. And they look at me and they're like, what? And then I realized it was Alexander and his buddy who had, they'd both sent me the video and they were both there
No way.
at that spot. And it was just this amazing moment. And they're like,
That
what are
is
you doing
magic.
here?
That is magic.
Yeah, I was just, it was incredible. A really, really cool moment for me. And so yeah, I've been following them ever since. And yeah, I think if you were going to watch some PCT videos, there's some great ones. I'm sure there are so many more, but yeah,
Okay.
has a great and yeah, there's also, can I mention one more?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. There's some buddies, Andy and Peter, who hiked the Pacific Northwest Trail back in, oh, I'm gonna say it was like 2018. And they created this incredible documentary series that was behind, that got released on Outside TV, but it was behind a paywall. So, not a lot of people are willing to pay, to get to watch that, but they've just started releasing shorter episodes of their documentary series on their YouTube channel under Heyo Designs. And that's really cool. It's really like it's taken filming a thru hike to a very, very different level. And so, yeah, that's also been okay, something that so I've been watching.
Heyo Designs and then mm-hmm. also Alexander Lafoon, you said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. I have to check those out.
Have we not asked you?
All right, Tip Tap, before we wrap things up, just one more segment for you called What Have I Not Asked You That You're Dying to Tell Us About? What did we miss?
That was
today?
A great accent. Was it like a British, like, nanny accent?
She's not sure what it is. I'm not sure what yeah. it is, but it is.
You got to keep that. You got to keep that one. What have you not asked me? Oh, God, that's a tough question. I will say, I remember saying, there's some subtext of just, you know, who do I want to shout out? There, if you've heard of Twerk or Tommy Corey, who's an outdoor photographer, I'm sure you've had him on the podcast.
He's been on the podcast. That's
he's
right.
He's a delight, he isn't he? Yeah.
He is.
So I think he's just doing incredible work. So I just want to shout him out because he's, I think he's got a Kickstarter. I think it's the Kickstarter site. But he's raising funds because he is this year and next year documenting stories of like 100 people who connect with the outdoors in these really unique and beautiful ways. And I think he's just doing incredible work in terms of representation and, you know, showing that there are ways to access the outdoors in different ways. And also just his art and photography is beautiful in general. So I just wanted to give him a shout out because I think if, you know, that's something we really need to work on, I guess, as an outdoor community. And if we want to see these stories told, then we should support somebody who is telling those stories. So, yeah, I just wanted to give him a quick shout out and also a shout out to the two TA hikers, Te Araro hikers, I'm pretty sure I saw this morning, who I have deep regrets for not yelling out to because I was going for a run and they were going the other way, but on the other side of the road. And I'm so sure they were hiking the TA and I just wanted to run up to them and be like, are you guys hiking the TA? But I didn't. So shout out to them who will never know that I was there and saw them.
Well, back to Twerk. I think he has a second Instagram feed called All Humans Outdoors or something to that effect.
Yes, yes, yes.
And some striking. I mean, his landscape photography is awesome, but these pictures of all kinds of different people outdoors really striking.
It's called All Humans Outside.
All Humans Outside. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All Humans Outside. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for tuning in. Always remember the trail is the trail. Doesn't care if you want to go downhill. Doesn't care if it's almost dark and you're looking for a campsite. It doesn't even care if you're trying to set the FKT on the vertical kilometer. The trail is the trail. Embrace the suck.